The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Right there on Causeway Boulevard, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon has 2019 Escalade 0% APR for 72 months for qualified buyers. Get all the details at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com, as well as 2019 XTS 0% APR for 72 months, plus $1,500 down payment assistance when you finance through GM Financial. edmorsecadillacbrandon.com is the website, and of course, it's backed by Morse. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, General Manager Brian Danahy knows if you've been thinking about moving up to Cadillac luxury, now's the time. During the Tournament of Savings at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, right now get move-up sales event savings on a 2019 XT5 crossover. Drive for only $339 a month at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillactampa.com for all the details. We're so pleased for the support of Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa of all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com, his three columns a week and the podcasts. A couple of pieces of business before we get to the star of the show, which of course is Ira Kaufman. Please subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. We appreciate all the subscriptions and the people who are looking for the podcast, and of course all the listeners. And a little note, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, and I'm going to be relaunching my podcast next week. We're going to go every single day next week, starting on Sunday, as everything is cooking now for the offseason. But enough of me. It's all about the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman.
Yay!
Here he is, wearing a sport coat, fresh off Spectrum Sports, and then whatever that is you do on Bay News 9, Ira, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. He is the king of Newport Richey, the custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Ira Kaufman, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just came from Spectrum Sports with my buddy and former comrade, Mr. Roy S. Cummings. Roy E. Cummings. I think it's Earl. Roy Earl Cummings. Sounds like a serial killer. I think it's Roy Earl Cummings. Sorry, Roy. But the question for Spectrum was, who are the Bucks going to pick at number 5? And how do I feel about the offensive line? For me, both questions are kind of intertwined, Steve. We'll talk about it more as this podcast goes on. I got my eye on a hunk of granite out of the SEC. And no, as bad as the Buck defense has been, he doesn't play defense. Although he probably could be turned into a defensive lineman.
All right, Sage, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKuyper is not here, which is a serious bummer, Ira.
And it's a breach. That's what it is.
It's not a breach. I don't really even know what happened. You said you wanted to meet tonight. And I texted you and Lee, group text. You wrote back, which is a freaking miracle.
Miracle.
Since
miracle.
You never responded.
Now,
I've
been tweeting my columns now. I've been retweeting. I've been doing a better job on that.
Congratulations, Ira. And
I also tweeted that a member of the band killed himself in Winter Park, Florida on this date in 1986. I don't know if you happen to see that one on Twitter. I got some good comments about it, Steve. Of course, you don't know anybody that performed before 2005. Speaking of performers, did you see the Michael Jackson documentary last night, Steve? Absolutely shocking.
I missed it.
Absolutely shocking.
Was Josh Freeman in it?
Oh, Steve, you're better than that, Steve. You're freaking better than that. And part two is going to be tonight because of doing this podcast. I'm going to miss part two of Michael Jackson, Never Never Land. That's all right. I'll catch it on the rebound.
What channel is that on, Ira?
I believe HBO. See, I pay the extra $12 a month, Steve.
Ira, I'm
you
telling
you. You got basic
you.
Cable. I'm surprised you get Channel 8.
I'm telling me, telling you, Ira, if you allow me, I will come to your house.
What?
And I will.
You will give me a week's notice? Don't tell me you're going to talk about Sling or something. You don't have Sling.
No, if you allow me to.
All right.
I will show you, and I'll even pay for the first couple of months. I will get you a DVR and show you how to use it. It will change your life. I'm serious.
What do you want me to DVR? Buck games? I've already seen it once. I've seen all I need to see.
Michael Jackson. You know, and look, when
I've seen all of Caleb Benenock I need to see the first time around, Stevie.
All right, Ira, let me get back to Lee. Lee was at the Combine for 5 days.
He hit Shapiro's Deli on day one, pastrami sandwich, went back to his hotel room and slept for 5 hours. That's his week in Indianapolis.
No, it's not. He was talking to all the movers and shakers and many more. And
we wanted all the dirt on this
podcast. I don't know what happened. You know, I was realizing when you were talking to Lee saying, where the hell are you? I think I texted him when he was flying, and I don't know if that screws up a text or not. I don't know, but it kind of sucks because we were counting on Lee's
juice. That three-headed monster, Steve. We need it.
But Lee will be back next podcast with all kinds of combine stories.
He's the guy who ran into Dirk Cutter walking down the street. He's the guy who had time with Bruce Arians and Jason Light and
a lot of other folks. All right, Ira, look, your podcast, it's out there. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, those are the big platforms. And, of course, the reviews come in and the subscriptions come in. It's all free. And, of course, you continue to kick some butt, so congratulations.
I've given up on the top 50, Steve. I've given up. I don't hear a word from you. No news is bad news. It's certainly not the content of the podcast. I got to blame somebody over here, Stevie.
All right.
See, I'm on attack mode right away over there, Stevie.
Right away.
By the way, it's a beautiful night. We're here at Glory Days. We're out here on the patio, Palm Harbor, Steve, US 19. Good food, good times. And
your favorite waitress, of course.
Yeah, good service. Brought out the salad.
Wait, did you ask her if she'd go on a cruise with you?
I didn't ask, but she's always going on cruises, so I wanted to know when her next cruise was.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify.
Then she said she was going to South Carolina. Does that sound like a cruise, Steve? Would you be cruising into Columbia, South Carolina? I don't think so. What's on your mind, baby?
Gotta love that sport code, Ira. All right, look.
This lemonade's going to my head over here, Steve.
Bruce Arians... You know, he talked a lot at the Combine, a lot of things to say in a lot of different places. One thing, though, that hits a theme that you've talked about before, and it was an interesting quote that he dropped on Sirius XM NFL Radio. He said, if I would have had to coach a coaching staff, no, I probably wouldn't have gotten back into coaching. And he was asked about coming back and really about how all these great coaches – that he's been with before or on his staff, it all happened fast. And, you know, I know it unsettles you a little bit, the whole concept of Arians' friends and family club. I have mixed opinions on it. But when you hear him say that, what goes through your head?
Well, I think a one word, delegate. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, Steve, if you've got the right people in charge. And I'm like you. I read a lot of stuff about different parts. Members of the staff. I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't think Todd Bowles is one of the better defensive coaches in this league. Maybe top five. Arians, he was with them the first 2 years in Arizona. They won 10 games that first year. I think they might have won 11, Steve, in year two. And then I think the third year, they went to the NFC title game and went 13-3. But Bowles was gone. But even with the Jets, Bowles did not do a bad job. With the Jet defense. At times, it was stout. So, as far as delegating to Bowles on that side of the ball, I don't have a big issue. I would like Arians to call the plays, Steve. I would. I think it's part of the package that you get with a Bruce Arians. Look, he knows Byron Leftwich a lot better than you and I. I haven't talked to Byron Leftwich since he was starting ahead of Josh Freeman in 2009, Freeman's rookie season. So, he's got all kinds of faith in these guys. Goodwin goes back a long way. Christensen, let's see. But I just want to make sure that Arians is poking his head in all the coaching rooms and is aware of everything that's going on. And things still have to go through Bruce Arians because that's what the organization is paying for. They're paying for Bruce Arians.
And I'm confident that Arians is not here to coast, but you know what? That can change if things don't go right when in the situation that he's in and just the way it's all shaken out. Hey, if they have a rough year, is his drive going to be there next year? So that's why they're in so much of a now mode.
And he clearly knows, Steve, that in the future, down the line, if guys like Leftwich, Goodwin, and Bowles are to get chances, Bowles has already had one chance. If they are to get chances in the future, it's not going to happen unless the Bucs win. The Bucs have to win for that to happen. So to say that Arians doesn't have a great motivation, you know, to end this 11-year playoff drought, that's crazy. He certainly does.
Absolutely. So, Ira, the Combine, you saw different coverage, watched different nuggets on television, you know, the whole vibe. There's so much you could talk about the combine, but do you have a takeaway as far as the Bucs and maybe a specific player or just in general?
I have one takeaway, and it just developed in the last couple of days, Steve. Haven't people learned their lesson? All these years at a combine, all these years at a draft, you can look back, match things up, and judge drafts and judge prospects and who made it and who didn't. They're going crazy about a wide receiver who turned in a fast time. Steve, it's about the tape. It's about productivity on the college level against competition. There ain't no competition when you're running against air. You're going to beat air. You know, you win, you get one, and air gets zero. So I really could care less if a guy ran a 4.33 or 4.37 in the grand scheme of things. I want the college tape. That's 90%. And people still go crazy about these workout warriors. When are we going to learn our lesson, Steve?
Well, it's a good topic. There's a lot of reason for that, Iron. And all the personnel guys that I've listened to babble over the years, and some of it's true, some of it's not. You know when they're being truthful, when it's in generalities about the process.
You know, Montez Sweat just ran a fast 1.5 in the first 10 yards. People are going crazy.
It's kind of like you breaking on a drop shot. You're all over it. All right, Iron, no, seriously. DK Metcalf, the receiver we're talking about, 1.6% body fat. Come on, I got that in my hand, Ira. I don't even know what's going on. But so, obviously, his combine, and he looks like a force. John Gruden, your buddy Chucky's out there saying, I don't know who's going to tackle this guy, a monster. But
Al Davis used to be famous, you know, in his later days.
But the point you made, Pat Kerwin, SiriusXM NFL Radio, ex-linebackers coach, ex-Bucks scout, ex-Jets personnel guy. He's great at what he does, written many books, and certainly knows the league inside and out. He's at the Senior Bowl. He's everywhere. Well, Kerwin said today that watching Metcalf just be that impressive got him to go back to the tape and really be more diligent on Metcalf, and that's going to be the case for a lot of general managers around the league looking at, well, what did I miss with this guy? Or what?
That's fair.
What am I not seeing? Right.
That's fair.
Now, Kerwin basically said, you know what? I went back and holy crap, this guy is a monster.
Well, why wasn't anybody saying that before the combine? If he's got the great tape, Stevie.
But he's dissecting it further. And also, you know, who was throwing to this guy? Kerwin was making the case that that was a big part of it. But, you know, he got into some X's and O's of why he looked so good on the film. Little things he was doing, but now, you know, only takes a few general managers to get wowed by that and start thinking, okay, he's Julio Jones part two. And I mean, these guys miss all the time, so it has to make you think that they miss on the film anyway. So maybe
I'm not saying the week in Indianapolis is a giant waste of time, but what I'm saying is you got to put it in perspective. And you've heard a lot of GMs over the years, Steve, even ones that come through one buck place. Tape doesn't lie. It's all about the tape. Look, Metcalf, can he catch the ball in a crowd? What kind of routes does he run? Does he cut his routes short? How's his hands? Can you beat him up physically and he can't respond?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Ira. This brings me to a Jason Light gym that I still don't know what to make of it.
Still parsing Jason Light's words at the podium?
Well, this was on the radio.
Oh, this is in a scrum. Oh,
this was on the radio, Ira.
Oh, all right.
And this one is a good one because I need your sage greatness to explain this to me. All right, I'm looking it up here as we speak, Ira. Here we go.
It should be seared into your brain, Stevie.
I'm trying to knock it out.
What do you got?
No, and I'm serious. I don't really understand where he's going with this. So he's on Sirius, and he's asked, the general manager is asked about cover guys and the change in the game and the receivers, and Light goes on to explain that big athletic corners are more important than ever because receivers don't run true routes any longer. Okay, now he says this. He says he then sort of like turns, metaphorically turns to Brady Quinn on the radio and says, you know what I mean, Brady? And I don't know. I don't think Quinn really knew what he meant by saying receivers don't run true routes any longer.
Did he clarify it, Mr. Isbitz?
Well, he goes on to say, quote, so the corner that had all the great change of direction and all that stuff, you know, that's still a valuable asset. But if you're long and you can run a little, and you're instinctive and you can tackle, you know, you're going to be able to cover these guys now. So that's just the way the game has kind of morphed.
And he used Vernon Hargraves as a beautiful example, didn't
he? Well, he didn't mention Hargraves, but this is a guy who 2 years ago just drafted a shifty change of direction, short space quicks, as Rondé Barber calls it, guy. Now Light's sort of saying that's not the way the game's going. I don't even know what he's saying there. Do you?
Steve, all I know is I watch as much football as you do, and half the corners in this league don't turn around. They don't even turn around. That's an invitation to a flag right there. They're out of position. They don't know how to shadow a receiver and yet know when the ball's in the air. Those are the things that are important, ball skills. Just because a guy is 6'3" doesn't make a guy a good corner. I'm sorry. I want a guy that's got good hip movement. No, don't I sound over there like Mel Kiper a little bit over there, Stevie? Little trunk extension, little hip movement. I'm not sure what Light was referring to, and I'm not sure Light knows what he's referring to. And whoever was asking him the questions should have asked the follow-up. What do you mean by that, Jason? They just let it go. Perry Mason would have nailed him to the cross over there.
I just wanted your sageness there. Light made it sound like Carlton Davis is the prototype of the future. Light also said,
"I'm not down on Carlton Davis, Steve. I'm not down on him. I think with the proper development,
incomplete."
And you read my column on Monday, draft and develop. Well, they haven't done either very well in the past 11 years, period.
No, and look at how long they kept the last coaching staff. The last coaching staff, or at least the offensive side, was there for two regimes, really, most of it. And do you think they did a good job drafting and developing on the offensive side of the ball, Ira?
Well, Mike Evans is a can't miss. Anybody would have taken him if he was sitting there at number 7. I think Marpet has developed okay, not great. Donovan Smith's development, I'm not sure he's a much better player than he was as a rookie. Steve, have you seen a lot of development there? I don't know. Godwin, I like. I think he's going to be a good pro. And O.J. Howard, if he stays healthy, I think he's well on his way. But there are certain guys that they have not developed. You know, I mentioned Hargraves. I think Evans, the safety, took a step back. I think he took a step back even when he was healthy. And the guys that have slipped through the cracks, Steve, now you mention it all the time. That Swayze, you know, starting right now when the Bucs put a lot of resources into the guy.
The Dirty Dancer?
And McDougald, who I thought turned in a couple of good years for the Bucs. Then it looked like he kind of stalled, you know. And then in 2017, Seattle swoops in and grabs him. And look, I'm not saying the guy's an all-pro safety, but they're very happy with him in Seattle. And Pete Carroll knows a few things about defense. He's kind of the ringleader all of a sudden of that secondary. Can you believe it? He's kind of the ringleader.
Of course I can believe it. I'm a Bucs fan.
Now the Bucs want to add a safety. They're looking for a safety.
So
I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Who do you like out of the combine? Who grabbed you by the throat and maybe cemented more of your feelings and thoughts? There's got to be a guy. You were referencing somebody before.
Well, that's not because the guy had a great combine. That was Jonah Williams that I'm thinking about, who I think is a good fit for the
Bucs. He had a pretty good combine.
Yeah.
Showed his explosiveness and all that.
Well, they say his arms are too short. Steve, arms a little too short. The linebacker from LSU, I think, helped himself. He did help himself. Ironically, if the Bucs draft him at 5, and I don't think that would be a horrible pick, there's a good chance he'd be replacing his buddy at LSU. You know, this Quan Alexander thing is a real mystery to me, Steve. You can't keep Quan off Twitter right now. He's going crazy. He's tweeting more than you are, you and me combined. They're very mysterious tweets. You know, they're up in the air. You can interpret them any way you want. It's going to be a hell of a week. Very interesting. Didn't he do a shout-out to...
Perhaps he found a good beet salad in Tampa.
Didn't he do a shout-out to Devin from LSU?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think he did. I don't know what's going to happen with Quan Alexander, Steve. The one thing we know is his timing sucked. If you're ever going to have a knee injury, this was the wrong time to have
it. Well, we do know what's going to happen. He's going to test the market.
He's going to test the market.
And it's going to be a tough...
I think it's a little bit of a gamble by the Bucs
tough
to let him test the market.
But you know what? There are teams out there with a lot of salary cap room. And if you have a lot of salary cap room, you could take a little flyer on Aquan Alexander and hope for the best and go from there. The Bucks don't have that kind of wiggle room, it appears. They're also a team that's in the midst of an overhaul, whether they want to admit it or not, especially on defense. So I think Kwan's going to be gone, Iris. Someone will throw him a bone and give him a shot. I could totally see Gruden doing it.
And if the Bucks aren't planning to take the linebacker at number five, you would think they got to address it maybe in the free agency, especially if they're going to go to a 3-4 for a good portion of the time. I see Mosley from the Ravens. He's a good player. He's a veteran. It's going to cost some money. But you cannot play defense for Harbaugh on that defense and not be a rugged individual.
Well, Mosley will cost a fortune. The problem is Harbaugh was clear that we want Mosley back, and Mosley has said he wants to come back, and they know they got to pay him. They just sort of put it out there a couple of times that, hey, it's got to be reasonable, but they're not going to franchise tag him, which is the news. You know, Monday is the day a week from yesterday is when you can tamper. So, maybe if he somehow gets to Monday, the Bucks could pounce on him, but it's going to cost a fortune, Ira. It would reshape the defense. I'd be all for it.
And Donovan Smith is going to get his money. I don't think I'd be in a hurry to work out a long-term extension on either side of the aisle here. As you pointed out many times, Steve, even though a lot of I've seen some scouting sources say that they've got him ranked as maybe the 25th best free agent out there, all positions combined. He's not top five or top 10. But it's very hard to find a left tackle in free agency. I don't think it's a great year for left tackles in the draft. Jonah Williams, who I like, is projected to play guard, maybe even right tackle. So Donovan Smith's going to get his money. By the time this podcast comes out, he's going to cash in.
All right, Ira, look, now a guy you respect, who you know very well, and this also ties to your favorite team, your boyhood heroes, the Chiefs, Terrez Paylor, who used to be a longtime Chiefs beat writer, now works for Yahoo, just flipped over there.
Hall of Fame voter.
Hall of Fame voter. He made it clear that, first, before we get there, he shared that the Chiefs are going to listen to offers for D. Ford, even though they franchised him. They'll listen to trade offers. And the Chiefs are going to be getting rid of Justin Houston.
No surprise there.
Are you willing to give up a mother load for D. Ford? Is Justin Houston, you think he has anything left in the tank? And then I'll get to my other thing.
I think Houston's done. He's been injured a lot. He's nowhere near the force. He had a huge year about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. He's on the back end. He wants to make money. I pass on Justin Houston, watching him very closely. D. Ford's the next Justin Houston. He's taking his spot on... and of course, Chris Jones is a hell of a defensive tackle for the Chiefs, who had a good pass rush this year. The pass rush did not. Now, what's the irony about D. Ford? He's the guy that lined up offsides.
Yeah.
When the Chiefs picked off the pass with a minute and a half, that would have sealed that victory. He's the guy. Admitted it. He did it. Dumb. Good player. It took him a while to come into his own, D. Ford. He was not an immediate sensation.
Not at all.
First round pick. Comes off that edge hard and fast. I don't believe the Chiefs can afford to lose him. I don't feel the Chiefs will lose him. The guy that's never mentioned in Kansas City, by the way, who's making a ton of money, is Eric Berry. Nobody messes with Eric Berry. You got the backstory. You know, he's a leader. He's this, he's that. Meanwhile, he can't get on the field. I think he's making $13 million,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, he's still the highest paid safety, I believe, in
Eric
the NFL.
Eric Berry. I mean... You can't let D. Ford go and keep Eric Berry. You just can't do that.
They did franchise four. They're just going to listen to trade offers. Maybe they get something.
I don't believe D. Ford's going anywhere. I just don't.
All right. So the big thing, Terrez Paylor tweeted on Friday, which to me just reeked of agents in his head, and they got to him.
They broke him down.
I swear to you, if either one of these guys gets this kind of money, I'll buy you a beet salad and a burger, whatever you're eating over there. He says, I'll read you the quote.
Do I want to hear this?
From the combine, he says, hearing some of the leading slot receivers in this year's free agent class, Golden Tate, Adam Humphries, are asking for $10 to $14 million a year on the open market per league sources.
Not going to happen. I mean, who do these guys think they are? Golden Tate. I mean, he's a good, you know, he's a good third or fourth receiver. You're going to give these guys $12, $13 million? I'm not buying it, Steve. You hit it on the head. Agents run these stories. They run the national stories. They're usually the sources for, and there's a lot of misinformation. As Buck fans know, a lot of things have come out about the Bucks that turned out not to be true. Agent sourced, never used a name. Adam Humphries, come on, $12 million, Steve. Let's take it easy. He ain't Wes Welker in his prime. He's a decent player, one that I think the Bucks would like to keep. But if he's asking for that kind of money, I don't think Buck fans would scream that they let him hit free agency and have a nice day. I mean, you can't have it all, Steve.
No, and I don't buy it regardless. Ira, look, as far as where this team sits at running back, because I think that gets glossed over a bit.
I think you dump DeSean Jackson and you try to keep Humphries. I think that's what you do.
There's a lot of sexy defensive lineman names out there, and this draft is obviously loaded with defensive linemen.
Top heavy with D linemen.
And maybe there's a few first-round running backs. Maybe, most likely, there might just be one or two. Do you think the Bucks are going to look themselves in the mirror, be straight with themselves, and understand that they need to draft a running back this year? Because if Ronald Jones is a bust, you don't get by with one running back in this league, rarely. There aren't many Christian McCaffreys running around out there.
Would you be interested in a Tevin Coleman?
I wouldn't, personally. But do you think they're going to understand that they need a running back and they'll definitely draft one in second or third round, somebody that they think can be a full-time back? Or are they going to pretend like
I hope they're not thinking picking up Andre Ellington is going to solve their problems, Steve. The guy was out of football last
But
year.
I'm asking you, do you think that they're going to be straight with themselves and really understand that they need a freaking running back?
If they draft it, it won't happen till the third day. Won't happen till the third day. That doesn't mean they won't be interested in picking up a free agent running back. There's not a lot of depth behind Barber, and some Buck fans don't think Barber is adequate. I think he's adequate, just like Donovan Smith is adequate. Can you win a Super Bowl with those guys? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But I don't think they're the main problems. I don't think they're the main problems. Yeah, they need a running back, Steve, but they ain't taking one at number five. They're not taking the Jacobs kid out of Alabama at number five. I don't care how light a tread he has on his tires. And a lot of scouts really like Jacobs from Alabama, and I like Jacobs. And if he's sitting there in the second round, I would take him. You hear that, Jason Light? I would take another second-round running back. Cut your losses, Mr. Light. Cut your losses.
Still didn't answer my question, Sage. Do you believe that this team believes it has a need at running back? Serious need. Are you saying no because you're saying third day?
Well, based on what I'm hearing from Bruce Arians, he can't go 10 minutes without mentioning Peyton Barber. Can't go 10 minutes. He loves the guy. You know what I feel about Barber. I think he's a 1,000-yard back if you can get a right guard who can run block a little bit. And by the way, his name happens to be Jonah Williams, who's a hell of a run blocker and is going to be a 10-year starter in this league. So, yeah, they need a running back, but on the list of priorities, Steve, it's not high. It's not very high. And there's no Adrian Peterson's out there. You know, that's worth a number five. I don't even think you're suggesting taking one at number five. You're not seriously suggesting that.
No, not at all. Not at all. I just hope they're straight with themselves, that they have the need. I'd love to see him go after Mark Ingram, or I'd love to see him draft a running back.
Unless Light can convince Arians that Ronald Jones, just needs more of an opportunity. When he looks at the film, though, he's not going to be impressed.
Well, it's going to be a sales job by Light, and Light himself, also on the radio hour, was one of my favorite quotes of the Combine week.
Another Light gem?
Light as Light. This is my favorite, Ira. Light says, and he's talking to Sirius, and he says, yeah, they asked him about Ronald Jones. He's like, yeah, you know, the coaches came in, and one of the first things the new staff wanted to know was, quote, what the heck happened to Ronald? He's a good football player. And what's Light saying?
Wow.
Light's trying to sell that, oh, well, you know, he's getting hit in the backfield a lot, and he didn't have confidence. He was young. Young? Come on.
He didn't get hit in the backfield any more than Peyton Barber did. You can't look much worse than Ronald Jones did. Now, did he get a big opportunity? No, he did not. Could he look better with better coaching? Yes. But he showed very little for Buck fans to get excited that he's going to emerge as a very nice compliment in 2019.
Ira, do you think my premise that when April 1st rolls around and the Bucks return to practice and they get
we're a month away.
Yeah, we're not even. And they get in the meeting rooms when they're getting coached up on the playbook and they're really in the hard meetings and it's just conditioning, but it's the meeting room stuff is real. And then they advance through conditioning and to a little drill work and stuff.
I'm getting into that meeting room. I'm going to find my way in there, Stevie.
You should. Sage has got to be there. So, look, do you think if they sense that, man, this guy Jones is slow with the playbook and he's not as sharp as he might be, and, you know, do you think that anything that could happen in April with Ronald Jones could affect a decision in the draft?
Of course. Of course I do. Now, by then, the cream will be taken off the free agent crop, which is not a scintillating crop to begin with. The running backs will have been picked bare by the time the Bucks hit the field in early April. Absolutely, Ronald Jones's work habits, his concentration, his ability to absorb the playbook, all those are going to be big factors because he's starting fresh with Arians. He better make a good early impression with this coaching staff.
Now, Sage, we're going to have a much bigger, broader, and wilder podcast with when Lee is back at the next podcast, as well as free agency really
being. Yeah, we got to do our big free agency preview.
It's going to be our big free agency preview, and I'm excited for that. I've been preparing, and you know what? I thought Lee was going to be here. Otherwise, I would have brought all my notes for that.
But we'll have an expanded show, our second
podcast. Yeah,
we'll go
back heavy, if you will. But Ira, I wanted to ask you, what the hell possessed you to quote Benjamin Franklin?
Benjamin Franklin.
In your last column?
Because
Ben Franklin?
Well, because I've always heard that, you know, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. I thought it might have come from Newt Rockne or somebody, Paul Brown. And I looked it up, and it's attributed to Benjamin Franklin,
the guy with the kite. Your old high school buddy.
You know, the pride of Philadelphia. So I figured it would be a good ending and it would get a rise out of you, Mr. Isbitz, which it obviously has. By the way, those Bill Walsh quotes I thought were very telling. You know, when I look back at the guys that I've had a chance to talk to personally over the years, I often think back to that day that Walsh was invited by Gruden to come out. It was probably 2005, something like that. I think it was training camp. I'm not sure that it was. I guess it was training camp. And then I got my 10-15 minutes with Walsh. That's when we talked about a strategy, for making honest assessments of players and not getting too emotionally involved. And he should know, because these players won championships for him. And you know I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, and just to digress a bit, I think that's a big problem that's happened to the Giants the last few years. They've been a terrible team. They won 73 games last year. They're not going to be much better this year. And they were very loyal. They were very loyal to guys like Hunter Pence. Now, Steve, when a guy helps you win 3 World Series in 5 years, it's tough to let him go. But you got to make the cold decisions. And that's the one thing that Walsh stressed to me that he did in San Francisco. Look, when you get rid of Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, you can get rid of anybody, Steve. And that's something that I think the Buck regime should keep very much in their forefront.
Well, it's coming. I know a lot of fans may not even believe the purge that's coming here, but it's coming. And as they sign guys, they'll be lopping off the roster. It's just the way it's going to go.
And we're still not sure about the status of Gerald McCoy. We are not sure. You talk about parsing words, Steve. What'd you get out of some of the quotes about
McCoy?
Well,
we talked about that, Ira. I have to say, just if I put everything together, I still believe he's going to be here after next week. But could I see him as a draft day trade if the right thing comes up and they can get something for him? Or
will he be here because he restructured, or he'll be here regardless?
I don't think he's going to restructure, Ira, unless it comes down to he stays all the way through training camp and they're talking about maybe making salary cap casualties and they go to him to squeeze him with a deal. But
and by the way, who's the clown that's trying to link Antonio Brown to a one buck place? Is that Lockin' Fora again?
Yeah, it's Lockin' Fora. It's just so stupid. I don't even know what to say.
You know, again, agent-driven. Agent. It's just stupid. Absolutely stupid.
All right, Sage. The combine, the whole circus of it, what it's become. Now the NFL wants to move it, maybe move part of it to Los Angeles, to a stage, make it like the old Superstars.
2 weeks, maybe?
I'm waiting for them to have all the receivers, like, put them out there on the obstacle course.
I think they should run through the mansion at Neverland. Let them run through Michael Jackson's mansion over there and hop over the see if they can hop over the fence that leads into the animal kingdom.
Should they just pay these guys for coming into the combine and basically pay them for a week? You're in here. You're the property of the NFL. We're going to run you through all this stuff for TV and interviews.
You might see fewer and fewer guys going to the combine if they think they've established themselves as top prospects. I think that's a trend that you might see.
Mark Trestman, XFL,
oh
Tampa.
My God.
How about that?
What a build up! What a build up! And then it's Mark Trestman.
Yeah, I mean,
who? What? He's linked to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What? What are you talking about?
I mean, it's not exactly a charismatic hire for
you working opposite Steve Spurrier. You got Trestman. I mean, you know that's you're already in the hole.
I'll throw this out there, Ira, as silly as it is. I'm not even going to do it. Sage, give us some wisdom. We're out of here.
All right, Stevie. When DeKemper hops back aboard, we're going to get a couple of nuggets from him about Indy. We want to know about his shakedown of Dirk Cutter on the streets of Indianapolis and whether he asked for an extra pickle barrel at the Shapiro's Deli. And we're going to get some behind-the-scenes scenes with Mr. DeKemper, and I'm looking forward to it.